Normally, they think that the playground is boring. But now, with the incentive of candy, and they look everywhere for those little plastic eggs. I especially enjoy when they found one and scream, "I got one! I got one!" But they were not just satisfied with one. They search for more until their basket is full of these plastic eggs. Now, as we grow older, we are not so excited about treasure hunt. It seems like it's only a game. Occasionally, we read that someone who found a diamond ring on the beach with their metal detector. We go, okay. Okay. A lack of enthusiasm of the hunt. We're not so enthusiastic about the hunt, but we are still enthusiastic about the treasure. Just see how popular is lotteries. We all love treasures. Just not the candy kind anymore. My question this morning for all of us is, what do we consider treasure in our life? What do we consider treasures in our lives? With the parable of Jesus in mind, the related question is, how much is the kingdom of heaven worth to you? How much is it worth to you? And so as we unpack this parable, there's certain points that Jesus is making. The treasure, first of all, is hidden. It takes effort to find it. It's not you stumble across it, trip over by this treasure. Oh, there it is. $10 million right here. It's treasure that is hidden. It takes time to find the treasure hidden in the land. The same is true of this merchant who looked all over for this fine pearls. He wouldn't look for it. The field is big. The treasure is buried, unseen, covered by dirt. To find the treasure, you require to look everywhere, dig down every inch, and leave no stone unturned. Much like our children who look for Easter eggs. They know the eggs are there. It takes time and determinations before they find it. This is the same determination for the treasure hunters. It may take a long time before you find the treasure, but you will find it. We have a friend at VCU. They were with us when we started the VCU student fellowships. That's about 10 years ago. 10 years, not more than 10 years now. But by the time we left to come to Charlottesville, 10 years has passed. He was a seeker. He's not a Christian, but he comes to our regular fellowship Bible study for 10 years. By the time we left, he's still not a Christian. 2009. And he came in 2009. We left in 2018. So 9, 10 years. He still wasn't a Christian. And then one day we got a call. He says, "I'm going to be baptized." I says, "How can you go from non-Christian, a seeker, to be a Baptist, to get baptized?" I think in the subsequent year after we left, that the Lord found him, or he came to realize Jesus is the Savior and the Lord of all. But for a person who stayed in the Bible study for 10 years, he can have many things to do on Friday night, but he comes every Friday to study the Bible with us. Study, you know, they have fellowships. It just says that, you know, as you are seeking, as you seek her, time is not relevant in that sense. It is finding that treasure. That is relevant. So sometimes people, it doesn't take people, sometimes for people it's a short time, you know, a few months, a year. But then for some people, it takes a long time for them to come to finally find that treasure. So, for this person, I don't know how long he's been looking for treasure. But no matter what, it takes time and determinations. But it also requires optimism. You know, because sometimes you seek the treasure and you don't get it. You don't get it in the short time. You get discouraged and you get distracted. You know, we see this happening with the children at Acorns. There's some kids, they're too young. You know, they don't find it right away. They get discouraged. They go to their mommy, sitting on their mommy's lap, you know. So they never really, really experience the thrill of finding something. So you need to have that optimism. Why do you need the optimism? Because you are finding treasure. You think that at the end of all your labor, determination, there will be something there. There will be something there. You need to optimism to keep you going. Determination, optimism. I don't know if you guys know who Ronald Reagan is. Maybe it's before your time, you know. He's the 40th president of the United States. And he is known for his eternal optimism. Even during time of his troubles. And he used to have a story. He says that there was a little boy who was told to shovel horse manure to clean up the stall by his parents. He keep on doing that day after day. And his friend asked him, don't you get bored? Why can't you play with us? Don't you get mad when you have to do this every day? The boy says, no. I think there's a pony somewhere underneath this pile. Only if I shovel it enough, I'll find this pony. That's the eternal optimism needed for a treasure hunter. For a treasure hunter. Yes, there is treasure underneath a pile of dirt. It is not just the innocent boy's optimism. It is a huge promise from God. I don't know if any of you or before or now are looking for eternal life, or that you have been looking for spiritual truth for a long time. What Jesus told us is that the kingdom of heaven comes to us as we eagerly seek it. God is not going to force eternal life upon us or drag you and me into heaven, kicking and screaming. No kingdom of heaven is there for all. Kingdom of heaven is there for all to receive, but it takes tenacity, determination, optimism to find it. Along the way, there may be challenges to distract you from continuing your search or pressure you to abandon the search. We just have to be reminded that our effort will pay off at the end. Once we find the treasure, we know its value. That was the second point that Jesus is making. The parable of the treasure and the parable of the pearl have one thing in common. They both know the value of the find. This explains why the man hid the treasure again. He does not want others to find it and take it away from him. Some of you may think that he should share the treasure of kingdom of heaven with others. Didn't Jesus just tell his disciples to go and preach the message of kingdom at the end of to the end of the earth? But yes, still doesn't take away the value of the find and guarding it because he knows the value. Because he knows the value. I believe many of us do not value of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, we're very thankful that Jesus came to save us. We may be glad that we have eternal life, but do we treat it as valuable treasure of our lives? I think many of us maybe value other things more than we value the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ. The man in the parable valued so much that he goes into the extreme measure of reburying it, keep it a secret, so he won't lose it to other people. So how valuable is the kingdom of God to you? I'm not speaking to seekers or non-believers. I'm speaking to people who already received Jesus Christ as Savior. How valuable it is, how you treated what you have in your life. How do you treat it? Jesus told the people who follow him these words in Matthew 10:37. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. These verses in isolation can be confusing. You mean to tell me that I should not love my parents, love my children? No, that's not any of that sort. If you read the whole teaching, beginning from verse 34 of chapter 10 of Matthew, you understand the context of Matthew 37, Jesus is speaking of either me or your parents or your children. If you had to choose, I think that's kind of artificial, but he is emphasizing the point because parents and children are earthly treasure, things that we value the most. But then Jesus says, okay, then here is me. And if you choose these other things, earthly things, even though they're important, then you are not worthy of me. Jesus says, either him or nothing else. Nothing else. He said, that's a hard choice, isn't it? That's a hard choice. I never had to choose between my parents or my children or Jesus. So I don't know that there will be ever be that choice presented to me. But there are other things, you can say blank, you know, these other things that Jesus presented to me. Do you want these things or do you want my kingdom? I think your choice depends on how much you value Jesus Christ and his kingdom. So, you know, you're always, when we're talking about treasures, and there seems to be always a value that goes with it. And that value determines how you would choose. And then you can see that the parable talk about how these two people would choose. This guy who found the treasure and this merchant who found the pearl. You see how they choose. You know, according to Jewish law, the treasure found on the land belongs to the landowners. So if the treasure hunter found the grave treasure, if he were not the landowner, he would have to turn over the treasure to the rightful owner. That's why he secretly buried. He doesn't want the landowner to know that there is a treasure there. He secretly buried it, and when to buy the land, and I don't know how much, how expensive it is, but he says sold all he had and brought the land. So he is left with nothing except that piece of land. And I don't even know how big the land is, but that is not important. The important thing is that there is a treasure there. It seems to me a risky business, you know, that that you sell everything you own for that piece of dirt. Unless, of course, he knows the value of the treasure in the land. And this is the same with the merchant who went and looked for a fine pearl. And also he says what? He went away and sold everything he had and brought it. Everything he has. He's willing to do that because he knows the value of the treasure. So again, question is, how much is the kingdom of heaven or eternal life is worth to you? It is not, it's priceless, it's free, but it's not cheap. It's not cheap. A lot of people think that when it's free, it's cheap. When it's free to you, it's cheap. No, the kingdom of heaven is priceless. It's valuable. It demands all you have in your life. But it's free. But it's free. Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount these words: do not store up for yourself treasure on earth. Do not store for yourself treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, that is finally coming to focus. It's not the value, the worth, but it is where your heart is. Because where your treasure is, where you consider treasure, that's where your heart will be also. And Jim Elliot, a missionary who was killed by the Uca Indians in Ecuador, he says this before he went to the mission field. He said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He's no fool. So the final analysis is not so much the treasure, is where your heart is. Because your heart always go with the treasure, what you consider as treasure, what you consider as most valuable to you. You know, Jesus talked about treasure and money more than he talked about heaven and hell. Can you imagine that? It says treasure, pearl, you know, these are all earthly things. right? But he knows as your heart fixed on this earthly treasure, your heart will never go towards heaven. Your heart will never turn to heaven. So he talks a lot about these earthly things as making the choice to compare it with heavenly things. And the best story that he said about this is concerning this rich young rulers. Now, I will read this story to you. I think most of you know. This is in Matthew 19. I think it does kind of focus for us what Jesus is talking about, the treasures. And this is Matthew 19, verse 16 to 30. Now a man come up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" See, he is one. He's sincere, looking, seeking eternal life, kingdom of God. "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied, "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." So Jesus spoke to him about obedience to the commandment, the law of Moses. "Which one?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." These are the Ten Commandments, the first five commandments, except for keeping the Sabbath. And verse 20, young man says, "All these I have kept. What do I still lack?" It seems to him there's something missing. Even though he has obeyed all these commandments from his youth, he says. Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me." Jesus knew what is the issues with this young man. Young man can obey all these words, but his heart is not there. His heart is not completely devoted to God. Because his heart, as we see. Then the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. He has great wealth. His heart is not as he said. He is not sincerely seeking for eternal life. When there is a comparison between eternal life and the treasure that he has on earth, he made a choice. He went away sad because he has lots of money. His heart is not with the seeking, wanting to have that treasure in heaven, but rather his heart is still with his treasure on earth. So sad, isn't it? So sad, isn't it? Is that he knew something is missing in his life. He knew something is missing. And he came to Jesus. Not too many people had that one-to-one conversation with Jesus. And asked. And Jesus gave him the answer. And it is also important, Jesus said, you had to do this first. Then come and follow me. Then come and follow me. You cannot come follow Jesus with all these bags on you. And treasure, earthly treasure, are baggage for him. He's unable to go with Jesus if he has all this baggage. And Jesus, in his compassion, says, "Okay, young man, shed your load. Shed your load. Then you can follow me freely." But young man went away sadly. We have treasures, right? I mean, most of the time, our treasure is material things. And Jesus says, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eyes of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And disciples disagreed. Disciples were so surprised. They were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? Only rich man can be saved, right? A disciple thinks that way. Disciple thinks that you can carry your treasure. In fact, the treasure is something that you can bribe your way into heaven or buy your way into heaven. And Jesus, no. But what really trip up the young man is his heart is not really with Jesus. His heart, his treasure is not Jesus and eternal life. His heart is with his earthly treasure. So he stayed with his earthly treasure. You cannot go with God when your heart is somewhere else. Because it says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So two questions remain for you is that, what is your treasure? Right? Who is your treasure? What is your treasure? And then, once you answer that question, how much is it worth to you of that treasure? How much is worth to you? And I think this is one of those things, for us at least, as we walk with Jesus, Jesus show us where our heart is. There's still things that we care a lot. There's still treasure other than Jesus that we hold on to. But, Jesus doesn't show you everything at one time. Look at, you got all these packages you need to get rid of. Jesus show you one thing at a time. Jesus show you one thing at a time. For a while, our treasure is our children. For my wife, it's not Joshua. The reason is Joshua decided to go to the military academy. My wife said, I'm going to lose him. He's going to die on the battlefield. So she's pleading with God, don't let him go. Don't let him go. But he went. So God took that treasure from her, that treasure. And she had to release him to God. That's like releasing her treasure to God. Of course, I have my treasure too, and I'm still dealing with that, My treasure is that I love sports. I love to watch sports. Sometime, like last Sunday, was it last Sunday, right? I wasn't here. I was out in Washington, D.C., watching football. I have a guilty feeling about that, Miss Sunday worship and go watch football. See, I'm dealing with these kind of things. The Lord showed me, hey, it seems like your time's go watching football is more important than your time spent with me and with my people. So that's, you know, just things that the Lord shows me and shows us, I think, one thing at a time. One thing, what is treasure to you? Because there's so many of them in my pocket, I don't even know. Until the Lord says, okay, there it is. You want to give it up? You want to give it to me? You want to give it to me? So I see Tim and Shelley, your new treasure is the one that's in that little strollers. That's new treasure. I'm not saying that that's not what God gave you. But if you become, you love that more than God, then I think that's when you had to decide, right? You had to make that choice. But I don't think God really bring this kind of direct choice to us until that we're able to handle it. You know, I think for my wife, giving up Joshua wasn't easy, but God did not ask my wife for Joshua when he's 5 years old. But it comes, there are times that comes when it is, you know, are you going to give him up to the Lord, or are you going to continue to hold on to it? So, think about it. I mean, ask God about it and see where is your treasure, because that's where your heart will be also. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, God, we are so prone to wander away, and then without knowing it, we latch onto a treasure that we value more than you do, more than you. Help us to identify those treasures. Help us to navigate. But most of all, we pray, Lord Jesus, you show us that you are that treasure that is above all things, that is worthy of everything we have. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.